So I want to spend a few minutes just reflecting a bit on this theme of joy and peace and that we talk about so much at Christmas time. But first of all, how do you eat a burger? I don't know if you've ever wondered that. I mean, I often wonder, they put sticks in them these days, don't they? When you go to fancy restaurants or even Wetherspoons. What do you do with a stick? Do you take it out straight away? Do you try and eat the burger with a stick in it? I don't know. And are you meant to grab a burger and sort of go as big a bite as possible and let everything sort of splurt everywhere? Or should you be really civilized and get your knife and fork out and carefully slice up the burger and choose the right bits and put them delicately into your mouth? These are big questions. People really worry about them. Do you think we should just bite the burger or you should use a knife and fork? And do you think it should matter? Apparently, I read in an article recently that there was a restaurant in America where they completely banned people from using knives and forks to eat their burgers. So much so that when someone sat in the restaurant with their knife and fork, carefully and in a civilized way, cutting up their burger, the restaurant owner came over and kicked them out. Isn't that outrageous? Wouldn't you be absolutely enraged if someone kicked you out of a restaurant because you're using a knife and fork? This is a thing to get people really upset. Well, you might have heard of rage bait. Rage bait is basically this idea that usually on social media or the internet, people will share some kind of story or some fact with the aim of making people angry. And the reason they do that is because when people get angry about things, they tend to engage with them much more. You know, you could be scrolling through on social media or watching things, and you can see some cute cats and think, oh, that's nice, or read a funny thing and think, oh, that's funny. But you don't necessarily respond much. You quite quickly scroll on. But if something makes you angry, then you get engaged. Then you want to act. Then you want to comment. Then you want to put your outraged face on it. And the thing is, when you engage with a post, when you make a comment, then that post gets shared more often by algorithms. That post gets more views. That post earns more money. And some people make a lot of money out of putting posts out there that are designed to get you angry. In fact, the story I just told you is complete nonsense. It was completely made up. Someone put a video online saying that they'd been kicked out of this restaurant for using a knife and fork on a burger. And she did it because she knows that when you get people enraged, you get people interested in your posts and engaging in your posts. And she's made hundreds of thousands, if not millions of pounds or dollars, just by making people angry. And she does it in a sort of fun, comedic way. But actually, making people angry is a way of manipulating you. It's a way of getting you engaged in things, in causes. And often it's used not just by people on social media, but by politicians and leaders, or even by family members. It's used as a way to manipulate you, to get you on side, to get you worked up, to get you fighting for their cause. And it's worse, it leads to wars and horror. You want to think of a classic example, think of Hitler in the 1930s, getting Germans angry at what the Jews were said to have done to ruin their nation. Anger is a dangerous thing, and yet somehow people can appeal to our base instincts. They can appeal to our anger, to our lust, to our pride, to our jealousies, in order to manipulate us and make us do what they want. But when the angels came and spoke about this new baby to be born, speaking about Jesus, they said this to the shepherds: "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." This ruler wasn't coming as someone to be angry at what was going on in the world, to get angry at all the bad things and to try and stoke people's anger to follow him. This was someone coming to bring peace. And in the reading we heard from Isaiah, that Old Testament prophecy from hundreds of years before Jesus had looked forward to a king coming, to a king who would bring peace. Isaiah was writing at a time when angry empires were building up. The Assyrians made the Nazis look like cuddly toys. They're horrific people, and yet they're invading Israel at the time of Isaiah. They were taking people away. And he talked about this as a time of darkness. And yet he looked forward with hope. Hope to a time when a new king would come. A child would be born to us. A son would be given for us. Who would bring peace and joy. An end to fighting. An end to war. He talked about the Prince of Peace. But he also used three other phrases to describe him. And I invite you tonight to think about whether you want to follow this Prince of Peace rather than be manipulated by the leaders and the people of this world, by the social media and so on. The three other titles, I'll go through one by one. The first one is Wonderful Counselor. Wonderful Counselor. This is talking about someone who gives advice, someone who can help us see how to live. And of course, there's all kinds of ways to get advice from different people, isn't there? You can buy books in the bookshops. That's the old-fashioned way of doing it, with lots of advice on how to live. You can get lots of people online telling you how to live, how to go the best way. There's all kinds of philosophies and political ideologies that have risen up over the years that you can choose to follow. Lots and lots of ideas of different people, of different men, different women. But who should you follow? Are any of their ideas better than anyone else's? Or maybe you should follow artificial intelligence. That's the big thing today. Ask Copilot or Gemini or whoever it is how you should live your life. But the problem with artificial intelligence is it's actually just a sort of conglomeration of lots of human ideas and human thinking. It's seeking to mimic what another human will say to you. And sometimes it might give you the best of what humans will say. But sadly, often it gives you the worst of what humans will say. And so people have even been encouraged to commit suicide by AI. But what the writer of Isaiah is saying is that actually this king is a wonderful counselor. That word wonderful doesn't mean just fantastic and great and brilliant. It means somehow supernatural, spiritual. This counselor will give you advice from beyond humanity, from God himself, from the one who created us. And Jesus came, and he taught. And the words that he taught were words that had power, words that are memorable, words that didn't appeal to our base instincts, but pushed us to live a better life. Jesus came, and rather than provoking anger, he said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will inherit the earth. And love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you." Jesus comes as a wonderful counselor. Will you be led by his words and his teaching? Secondly, Isaiah describes him as a mighty God. The rulers and leaders of this world, they depend on military strength and might for their power. And yet, in the Old Testament, again and again, although there were warriors and fighters like King David in the Bible, a lot of the Bible talks about not worrying about strength of armor, strength of might, but relying on God for God to win your battles. The people were slaves in Egypt to a Pharaoh, the most mighty and powerful king of the time, the one who had all the chariots and all the soldiers. Israel had nothing, and yet God defeated Pharaoh through a series of plagues and rescuing Egypt, Israel through the Red Sea. David came to fight Goliath. Goliath, who was 9 foot tall and covered in the best armor of the time with the biggest sword of the time. And yet David came against him, trusting in God to win the battle for him. And Goliath came crashing down. And Jesus comes not to urge us to fight with swords or guns, not to take up arms. Jesus came and said, he who lives by the sword will die by the sword. Jesus comes and allowed himself to be brutally executed by Roman soldiers. He was a victim of military power. And yet, he came with God's power. Not only in the miracles he performed, but in the ultimate miracle that after he was crucified, 3 days later, he rose from the dead and defeated not the Romans, not the authorities that had him killed, but defeated death itself. This is the kind of power that we need. This is the kind of power that can give you ultimate security, ultimate peace. Will you trust in the power of Jesus to look after you through life and ultimately to eternal life? And thirdly and finally, Isaiah says that this king will be the eternal Father. That word father, when it's used of those in leadership, refers to a kind of caring leadership, one that looks out for the people that they're responsible for. And Jesus came with compassion for the needy. He touched lepers in order to cure them. And he came and he said, look, don't be like the rulers of the peoples that like to rule over and oppress other people and have them serve them. No, in my people, if you're part of my kingdom, then the greatest of these are the ones who serve. And I came, he says, not to be served, but to serve and to give my life as a ransom for many. And so Jesus came and he died on the cross as an amazing act of service, because he cares for you and me. He wants to be our big brother and God our Father. Unfortunately, the many rulers of the world that just rule for their own gain, for their own power trips, for their own wealth, thankfully those don't last. But Jesus' rule is eternal. If you come to him and follow him, you'll know his kindness, his compassion, his love that will hold you through life and beyond. So who will you follow? Will you allow people to manipulate you and bring out your anger and make you do things for them that you might regret? Anger doesn't lead to joy. It doesn't lead to peace. Or will you follow the one that we celebrate being born at Christmas? The Son who has been given to us. The one who is a wonderful counselor that can guide you in the best ways to live. The one who has the mighty God, who's proved that he has power even over death. And the one who cares for you as an eternal Father. Will you follow him? On the way out later on, not much later on, I'll be offering you, I've got two things to offer you. One, I got a bag of sweets and little Jesuses that someone gave me. So if you want to take a sweet or a little Jesus, it's a bit of a lucky dip, you can take one of those. But I've also got some Gospels of Luke's to give out. These are easy readers, so if you're not a great reader, they should be straightforward to read. And read about not just the story of Christmas that's at the start of Luke's Gospel, but the rest of the Gospel. It shows you that Jesus is the Prince of Peace, that he is the one worth following. Why not read it and find out more about him this Christmas? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your words to us. Help us to see Jesus as the Bible describes him, as the Prince of Peace, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, and Eternal Father. Amen.